Hi, I'm Angela Artolino, and welcome to Your Natural Dog, my podcast featuring in-depth conversation with the world's leading holistic veterinarians and pet care pros. Join us every week as we reveal natural alternatives to the outdated one-size-fits-all pet care model we're used to. If you like what you hear, please make sure to leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. The only way we can get our message out to pet parents all over the world is with your support. Stop barking! I'm trying to record a podcast!
Hey, pet parents, welcome to Your Natural Dog. Today, we are a little starstruck in the studio because we have one of Angela's and my own idols. This is Dr. Nicole Apalian. She is an herbalist, biologist, an author, and wilderness skills instructor. You may have seen her on the History Channel's show Alone, where she competed in two different seasons, surviving in the Canadian wilderness with little more than a knife and her own wits and skills. She's also the author of numerous books, including The Holistic Guide to Wellness, which was released in 2023, which is an incredible book if you're looking for something to fill out your kind of library, understanding how herbs can be used for our own and our pet's health. But she is also somebody who is super passionate about the use of medicinal mushrooms and really gives us some insight into how she developed that in her career and how that informs all of her teachings and everything that she does as an educator in this industry, and tells some really incredible stories about how her philosophies around health have developed over the years. She is just a wealth of knowledge and is a really cool kind of badass woman. So enjoy this wonderful conversation with Dr. Nicole Apalian.
And we're back, and I'm beyond excited to continue my conversation with Dr. Nicole Apalian. And I know I've read so much about you, but I can't even remember this answer. I want to know, when was the first time that you were like, oh my gosh, this plant is incredible. It does this. Like, what made you go, oh yeah, I want to learn all about more herbs and how they heal. Like, when did you become an herbalist? Like, what made you do that?
I didn't really become an herbalist till a little later in life. Well, I mean, it's been 25 years now that I've been doing it. I guess that's later in life. But at age 30, I got diagnosed with MS, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But that's what really spurred me on to go full on into herbalism. But to answer your question, I was a biologist before that and had spent quite a bit of time overseas in Africa using medicinal plants and digging wild foods. And when I was little, I think the answer to your question, no one's asked me that before. That was a great question. When I was with my grandmother, when I was a kid, she lived in England, and we would walk through her garden, and she had things like yarrow growing in her yard, and she would make tea out of things, and just really simple stuff like that. And that was sort of the first time that I got introduced, just in a really natural way, as I think a lot of people did with their grandparents, utilizing things. And she didn't think it was anything special or different. It was what her parents did and her parents before that. So, you know, having tea and something to bring your fever down when you weren't feeling well, for example. So that was really the first moment. And then I did study plants quite a bit since then. But the real deep dive into deep herbalism definitely came due to illness, personal illness.
Well, that's crazy because the same thing happened to me. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and it happened in my early 40s. And, you know, I was living a pretty natural lifestyle, thought I got all the toxins out of my life and did everything. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is not a good diagnosis. And then the drug that you're given is so dangerous and damaged that they prescribed. It was Humira. And that's how I found cannabis, is that I was looking for the natural alternative. And when I took it, not only did all my pain go away, but my stress and anxiety went down, and it saved my life, changed my life, and set me on the direction that I'm, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing now. So I think it's what spoke to me the most of what you just said is that this was normal for your grandmother to share this education and teach you this. Is it normal? Was it normal in Africa? Like, this is how you treat this. This is what you do when you get sick here, because there are no hospitals, giant hospital corporations and drug companies and everything there, that they really do go to nature's medicine first.
Yeah, it depends where you are. I mean, Africa is so vast, but I was spending my time in Botswana. And I would say it's less normal. It's normal in some ways with some of the small villages, but I was spending specific time with the San Bushmen of the Kalahari. And for them, it is normal. I mean, it's their traditional medicine. It's their go-to. It's what they normally use. And so, yeah, but across the board, I mean, a lot of Africa has modernized quite a bit. Things like that are being thrown out in because everything Western is considered often better. So unfortunately, a lot of that is shifting all over the world. And we're losing quite a bit of indigenous knowledge just because of the shift to more modern medicine. But yes, like you, I definitely, it was a diagnosis that spurred me into doing my own personal research. And a lot of that research is out of Asia. So trying to figure out, you know, what was going to make me better, because like you had, the drugs make me very sick and I went downhill very quickly. I was diagnosed at 30 and within 6 months I was not walking. And very soon, and I spent about 2.5 years either using a cane on good days and a wheelchair at night, and bad days, really, I was bedbound for a really long time. And medicinal mushrooms and lifestyle changes and diet and things like that were what pulled me out of it. But I did have to go off all the Western medication that they told me I needed to be on because it wasn't working. It was making me sicker. And I didn't want that quality of life. I didn't have a quality of life. So I had to switch things around. And that was a real turning point for me. And that was almost 25 years ago now. So.
Wow, that's amazing. Those of you who are listening can watch Nicole on one of my, I love all these shows, Naked and Afraid and Alone. But you were on 2 seasons of History Channel's Alone, where then I got to watch you and fall even more in love with you. And I'm thinking, this woman is going to live out in the wild and forage her own food and find her own food and has MS. I just kept thinking, I can't imagine doing it, but could I bring my cannabis tincture with me? Or do I also have to find all my medicine out? That's what I kept thinking the whole time. I was like, oh my gosh, how is she finding her medicine there? Or does she have, you know, her tinctures with her? Did you? Are you allowed to even bring your tinctures?
I was allowed. I don't know what I'm allowed to say. History Channel is so tight on their MBA forms. But I will say, you know, living in the wild and living in nature and eating wild foods and having access to wild medicine. I mean, the first time I was in the Pacific Northwest, and the amount of wild medicine that grows there is exactly what I take. Awesome. So I have access to turkey tail, and there was access to reishi mushrooms, and there was access to really wonderful food and yarrow and usnea and all of these incredible medicinals that I know, you know, like the back of my hand. Right. So I did have access to all of those because they all grow wild there.
Right.
And I think there's a real benefit to living off wild medicine that actually grows right where you live, because then you always have access to it. So right. For me, being in nature was one of my biggest healers, on top of the medicinal mushrooms and all the other, and the herbal medicine and supplementation and diet. But the diet out there was a wild foods diet. You can't really get better than that when you're looking at any sort of illness. A wild foods diet is an incredible diet to be on. It's what we're made to eat. It's what we're genetically programmed to eat. And there's, you know, nothing processed. So really getting sick out there seemed almost impossible to me because I was living exactly as we are designed to live.
Oh, I know. It was so beautiful. And those of you that are listening, you know, my pet parents that are listening, do you hear her saying biologically appropriate? That's the same thing we talk about with feeding our dogs all the time. What's biologically appropriate that they should be eating? It's the same thing for us. I, watching, also wanted to ask you this. How did you feel? Like, literally, you were eating salmon and herbs and whatever you found around you every single day. How did that must have been, you didn't have a choice. She couldn't go to the pantry and grab the bag of chips or chocolates. What did that feel like? Your body just must have been amazing.
My body loved it. And I already incorporate a lot of wild foods into my daily diet. And so it wasn't a shock to my system. I think a lot of people went through ketosis when they got there and felt pretty terrible for a while because they were trying to get used to all of a sudden not having access to huge amounts of carbohydrates and processed foods and had to go through a lot of detox. I was already eating like that at home. Not to the extent, of course, of eating as many wild foods or eating only wild foods, right? We all cheat a little when we have access to actual, to the supermarket from time to time, right?
Right.
But none of us are eating that 100% of the time unless we're living out there. But I felt wonderful. I mean, having access to fresh fish and limpets and seaweed and forage roots and beautiful mushrooms and a few berries here and there, which were a real treat because it was at the end of the season, because they put you out in fall and winter, really at the tail end of all the seasons. But wild greens, while they were still available before it froze, my body felt absolutely incredible. I felt wired and like a well-tuned machine, and wired in a good way, not wired as in anxious. I was not anxious at all out there. I felt very calm. There was very low stress. I was a single mom when I went out, and I had two younger kids at home.
I didn't know that part. I didn't know you were a single mom.
It was easy, you know? There was no to-do list. No one needed me for anything. It was just taking care of my own basic needs. So I thought it was absolutely fun and kind of a vacation in a way for me.
Yeah, you guys need to watch it, especially season two when she's literally fishing in the same creek as a mother bear and two cubs. And you're like the only, I think, person on the show that wasn't freaked out that a bear was right across. You were just like, hey, how's it going? I'm over here doing my thing. You do your thing.
Well, that's the animal communication. I mean, you work with animals. I think a lot of people think animal communication when they hear it is weird.
Yep.
But if you have pets, you get it. Like your dog knows you're going to be home before you get home, right? The dog doesn't see you. It just knows, and it's at the front door waiting, right?
Yep.
It's the same thing with bears. You can do animal communication with all wildlife. When I lived in Africa, I used it every day. You know, when I first landed, I saw that there was a mother and two cubs. I could see their scat, and they just run off when the helicopter landed, and I was dropped. And I just said really calmly, I'm here in peace.
Oh,
your cubs are safe. And, you know, they never checked out my camp, which is weird. Bears always check out your camp. And even the male bear, you know, I talked with him and he sniffed my gill net once or twice, but never came into my camp. And he and I would forage 30 feet away from each other on the beach because we were eating the same food. None of them knew. They all knew I wasn't a threat. So, you know, to your audience who really is, they're talking about animals and pets and those sorts of things. Animal communication is a very normal thing, and you can do it in all sorts of ways. Some people, I prefer to talk. I'm a verbal person. Some people do it in pictures in their head, but just getting that feeling of safety across is really important, so that wildlife, you know, knows that you're okay and you're not out to get them.
That's right.
It leaves them pretty peaceful.
If you're like us, your pets are part of the family. That's why at CBD Dog Health, we created a line of human-grade, full-spectrum hemp products tailored specifically to your furry friend's needs. Whether they're suffering from fear of fireworks, arthritis from old age, or even seizures and cancer, research shows that a high-quality CBD oil can make a big difference for them. Enter coupon code RADIO at cbddoghealth.com for 15% off your first order. That's RADIO. CBD Dog Health, healing naturally.
So I want to talk about the products that you created. And, you know, your tonic, or do you call them tonics or tinctures? Like, because I know.
Tinctures.
Okay, good. I do too. But then a lot of herbalists or homeopaths didn't like that I called it tinctures because they weren't in alcohol and things like that. And I was just like, whatever. Then I'll call them. And then someone else was like, oh, if it's a full body thing, then let's call it a tonic. So whatever it's called, I love what you make.
Thank you. And I do primarily make tinctures, and I make some extracts, but primarily tinctures. Yes.
Awesome. And an extract is something that goes into a tincture. And that's kind of the difference of those of you that are confused by what an extract versus a tincture is. So when you do your extracts, I notice that you put them in liquid. When I find most, like, especially in the mushroom world, most things are powdered, dried and powdered. Why did you choose to go the liquid tonic tincture way instead of doing like a powdered product?
It's all about bioavailability and accessing the full spectrum of medicinal compounds that are in the mushrooms. So first of all, a lot of people in Western society have gut issues. So if you're swallowing something, let's say a mushroom pill, a lot of that is going to get lost. We have people with leaky gut, people with IBS, people with Crohn's, people with all sort of imbalanced probiotics in their gut, right? They don't, there are a lot of people who eat Western diet, their gut doesn't work properly.
Right.
So I find that a tincture, because it goes into your mouth orally, it goes into your mucosa, it gets into your system within 4 or 5 minutes, and you're able to access all of that instead of it having to go through your gut. And the second reason is that I double extract those mushrooms. And what that means is I extract it in alcohol and I extract it in water. You know, mushroom coffee is really popular now,
right?
But all you're getting are the water soluble compounds of the mushroom.
Right.
You're not getting any of the alcohol soluble things, which are all the triterpenoids and all the sterols and all of that sort of, all of those medicines you're missing out when you're just having mushroom coffee because you can't access them properly. But with a tincture, you get the full spectrum of medicinal compounds, and mushrooms are so incredible and they're so medicinal. Personally, I want the full spectrum of medicinal compounds when I'm taking mushrooms, or it's a bit of a waste. So that's why I double extract, and that's why I put it into a tincture form.
Awesome. So do I. But I come from the cannabis world. So what I learned is all about how cannabis works in our body, how it interacts with our endocannabinoid system, how to extract it, how to grow it, and whatever. And I find a lot of the same rules apply to mushrooms, except they're easier. Because when I made a cannabis tincture, I had to figure out how I was going to make it bioavailable because it was an oil and not water. So to me, the fact that we have to explain why a liquid is more bioavailable, it's funny. But you also make a spagyric. What is a spagyric?
That's to keep the minerals basically in the mushroom itself. So it's taking the murk, which is what you have, the mushroom that's left over after you've done the double extraction, and putting it at a very hot temperature, burning it, and then taking that ash and putting some of that ash back into the tincture. And in that way, you're able to keep the minerals that are so important that you can get from mushrooms, which is really important. When you eat mushrooms, you are able to access that.
Right.
But in a tincture, most tinctures don't have that in them as well. So it's the gold standard of tinctures. You know, if you can do everything, get everything out of that mushroom you can, that's what we do at Nicole's Apothecary, because I think it's important to be able to have the full spectrum of medicinal compounds when you can, because why not?
I agree.
Let's be healthy, right?
And when I take what I learned from, my cannabis education, which, you know, there's so much plant biology in it, is that I know that CBD doesn't even bind to the receptors without the help of THC. And,
right. You
know, it's only going to do that action if my myrcene is in there and these terpenes and all of these other things. You have to have, why mess with Mother Nature? She provided us with this amazing plant medicine, and all we need to do is extract it and preserve it properly. And that's it. And we can benefit from them. Tell me about MS. I wish I could remember symptoms before I had my diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. My rheumatoid arthritis came out in inflammation in my eye, which was very bizarre. Do you remember what you were feeling when you got that diagnosis?
Yes, I had the same thing, actually. My MS showed up in my eye first. I lost my eyesight in my left eye completely. It slowly deteriorated over a couple of days. It's called optic neuritis. And that was I had very classic MS. I lost my eyesight, went in, had an MRI, and it showed clear lesions on my brain. MS is sometimes more difficult to diagnose, but I had very classic MS symptoms. And what it is, it's an autoimmune disease, just like RA is. It attacks the protective sheath, the myelin, that covers your nerve fibers. And it's just like an electrical cord that has, you know, rubber on the outside. When that rubber gets taken away and your body attacks it, it causes communication problems between your brain and the rest of your body. And it can hit anywhere. It can hit in your eye. It can hit in your thoughts. It can hit in your respiratory system. It generally causes things like trouble walking, nerve pain, loss of eyesight, sometimes slurred speech, loss of balance, tremors, those sorts of things. Those are the most, you know, common symptoms people get. But it can really hit absolutely anywhere. And for me, when I got diagnosed, I did go downhill very, very quickly and got hit really hard. And it wasn't until I was able to pull myself out and really change my diet was my first step. Dip my toe into herbal medicine, second step, and then slowly add things in. And then finally, the medicinal mushrooms were really the key that unlocked the sort of the finality of being truly healthy.
Wow. I'm so happy you said that. That's going to be such an inspiration for so many people. But I want people to hear what she did first, because right now I've got about five, you know, humans that I've helped their pets that are now going, will this help me? And I need to I know that they're not going to change their diet. So I know that they're not going to have, you know, a remission situation or feel completely better, because that is the first step. Just like we talk about it with our pets, we've got to feed them. You've got to feed them what they need. We've got to feed that gut. We've got to get them those nutrients. And I do believe that mushrooms are the missing part for them too. And it's true. Diet, cannabis, adaptogens, and mushrooms have gotten me to this point. The only thing I'm still working on is not getting so damn stressed out about shit. Which I want to ask you about that, because you're a disruptor. And you are, do you consider yourself a disruptor? Have you been called that before?
Oh yeah, I have been called that before. It's a great, and by the way, I consider that a great compliment. Thank
you. I do too now. Also, I'll never forget the first time I was called it and I was like, what? No, I'm not. I like to collaborate and I like to help. I like to be part of the team. But then I realized that I was the only one standing out alone from everyone else going, why is this in a powder? Why is there microcrystalline cellulose in this capsule? Why is it grown in China? Why is it grown on sawdust? Why is it grown on grain? You can't tell me, if I use common sense, that that mushroom has the same nutrients and medicinal compounds than if it was grown on the tree that it was found in nature. That just doesn't make any sense to me, you know? Why doesn't it make sense to most people? So as a disruptor, I mean, I know you have a huge following of people who have been in the same situations as us, and conventional didn't help, and we couldn't get the answers. And so we either found someone like you, or we figured it out ourselves by doing research or visiting other communities that use these plants and mushrooms. So as a disruptor, man, and as a person who obviously gets stressed out, I have a lot of trouble not letting the disruptors, the people who call me disruptors, interfere with what I'm doing. Like, I always feel the need to prove or discount. And I know it takes me away from what I really do. So how do you operate in that? Like, how do you, when someone says, you know, like I get all the time, THC will kill your dog. THC is toxic to dogs. And I know damn well that's not the case. And I feel like I have to defend it. How do you handle that?
I think storytelling is a powerful tool. I think that when, you know, people like stories, people like knowing personal accounts. I also fall back on science. I have a doctorate. I'm a scientist. I, you know, delve deeply into peer-reviewed research, and all of my stuff, my information on my blog is all based in academic peer-reviewed research. Awesome. You know, so I have that to fall back on. You know, science is a really wonderful thing. And so there is the science behind it all. But if you're trying to reach someone on a one-to-one personal level, storytelling, so powerful. Just my story, for example, your story, for example, all the people and all the feedback I get who have used my tinctures and looked at my, you know, my website and look what I do for MS, and now they are doing it for MS and they are better and they are healthy and they are vibrant again. I mean, those stories hold power because they have bucked the system. They have disrupted, right? I wish I'd had me already around when I got sick, right?
So, well, thank you for being here for me and for everyone else, because you helped me not feel crazy. You helped me. And it's so funny, my partner in business, literally, like when I was having a meltdown, because I can't believe it. That's also when you know you're doing something right. When one of the biggest manufacturers in China is concerned with what I'm doing and going after me, I'm like, oh, I must be doing something right.
You must be, yes.
And I'm in the space. He literally says that to me. He goes, stop. you need a pick-me-up, go read our reviews. Go read how many pet parents we have helped with their pets, like over and over again. I'm like, that's all I'm going to do. You're right. You're right. And I do thank you for being who you are, because you are that person that I can look at and go, oh, if I'm crazy, then so is she. And I like the company I'm keeping.
Exactly. You know, they do. These things work. And nowadays, you know, whether you're talking about THC and the work that you do, or you're talking about medicinal mushrooms and the work that I do, there is so much new research coming out every single day. And people like Johns Hopkins University and all these incredible, you know, academic minds are working on these issues now. You know, 30 years ago when I got sick, or 25 years ago, I had to, you know, dig deeply out of research from Asia in order to find the research that I needed. It was out there, but not to the extent it is now. You know, nowadays you can go and you can find so many really wonderful scientific experiments that have been done on all of these medicinal mushrooms. And, you know, the data's there now. And so now, you know, you hear about medicinal mushrooms every day. You know, when I first started, no one was talking about that. People thought I was nuts, you know? So I think time is another thing, right?
Right.
With time, things really start to tease out. With more and more people doing research, they are discovering that, oh, there is a lot of meat to this. This actually does work. And now more and more people are using these on a daily basis.
But it's harder for them to choose. It's harder for them to choose a product.
It is. It is harder. You know, for me, I really narrow it down because there is so much out there. Personally, as someone with an autoimmune disease, I take reishi mushroom, cordyceps mushroom, turkey tail mushroom, and lion's mane mushroom on a daily basis. I wouldn't go a day without taking those. I take them twice a day. I take my tinctures, and they make a huge difference. You know, my family takes them. We all use them. My mother takes them. My sister takes them.
And we can read the reviews on your site and your people who are following your protocols and using your tinctures and the same thing. Read the reviews, guys. It's true. They're telling their stories themselves of what it's doing for them. So you told us your favorite mushrooms. What are some of your favorite herbs? And do you incorporate cannabis into your protocol?
Sure. My favorite herbs, I have a number of them. It depends on, you know, what I'm using them for. But allergy season is starting now. So stinging nettle is at the top of my list. I have other tinctures and my apothecary. Yeah, stinging nettle is amazing. You know, my son gets terrible allergies and he just uses that and they're gone.
Awesome.
So stinging nettle is really key. I make an usnea spray. Usnea is a lichen. Also needs to be double extracted, just like mushrooms do. But I have a spray that I put in my throat, and I take that along with elderberry during cold and flu season.
Awesome.
Just because, you know, and I think, and this is really important, especially for you of autoimmune illness, like I do. I think a lot of people don't know, like echinacea, astragalus, golden seal. Like if you have an autoimmune disease, like you probably shouldn't be taking those. Some people can handle them, but a lot of people can't because they're so immunostimulatory. As far as the antivirals go, you know, all the mushrooms are antiviral, but I use elderberry because it works for me and it's not too immunostimulatory and it doesn't put this whole cytokine storm that can happen depending, you know, with different diseases that can happen if you get too much stimulation. But all of the mushrooms are also, of course, antiviral. So I use all of those I use them every day anyway, but I up them a little if I've been around someone who's been sick.
Same.
But elderberry is a big one. Yeah, that's a huge one for me. So those are some of my favorites. And then I have blends. I have an anxiety and stress blend that I love that I make. I have a sleep blend that I take every night because it really does help me fall asleep and stay asleep all night. So there are a few different blends that I make. And I'm coming out soon with a menopause blend and a liver blend.
I literally was just going to ask you.
Or you, yeah. It's a huge issue for people. Yes. Menopause. No one talks about it.
No. And I just discovered, I just went through it and it was rough. I did all pre-menopause and menopause and just went through it. And yep, discovered wild yam and, oh my God, what's my other one?
Black cohosh, maybe? Red clover? Or Vitex?
I think it's
those are my go-tos.
I traded. I was at a cannabis conference and some lady had issues with her dog and she was doing all women's ailments and cannabis and herbs. And so we traded and that's how
nice.
I discovered.
Yep.
But yeah. Oh, good. I can't wait to have that. I have so many friends that are going through it. So I can't wait to recommend that. How do you think animals in nature treat themselves when they get sick?
Oh, I've seen lots of wildlife eating plants in nature. You know, eating yarrow when I'm assuming they have an infection. You see it pretty constantly, things that are browsed. And I have definitely seen wildlife eating certain things that are not necessarily tasty, so they must be medicinal.
Right.
But yeah, I think they're a wonderful, I don't know if you do herbs as well as THC for animals.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. I always used to blend. I used to make some pet salves, and I've used them on all my animals. But I have a cat, so I always say if it works for a cat, it works for any animal because
right.
They're so picky.
I know.
Yeah,
I love it.
But I've done. Yeah, I've used my healing salves on my chickens and on all sorts of animals that they're not made for, but they really do work. They work really well, and I've had a number of people use the tinctures, actually, lion's mane especially. For their pets.
Absolutely.
And have had great results.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen it. I've literally watched dementia, which in a couple days or early signs or whatever in dogs, like be reversed, where they're lost, standing in corners, not making eye contact, to making eye contact, not getting lost anymore, to sleeping through the night. It's amazing. And I know that the dogs in particular are more sensitive to cannabis, but I feel like they might be more sensitive to it all, and therefore it doesn't take much to do a lot for them. And your tinctures, do you do them in alcohol or in glycerin?
Primarily in alcohol. I have the liver tonic coming out. It's going to be in glycerin because it's for your liver specifically. And I do a couple of them as blends with, like, my heart health blend has glycerin and alcohol in it. But primarily the mushrooms I do in alcohol because it's the best medium, the best solvent for them to be able to access everything.
Awesome. I have one. I know we're running out of time. One other question that I would love to know what you do. What do you do when you get a headache?
Oh, a couple things. One, I usually take willow bark. I make a willow tincture. You can make a willow tea. And willow is, if you live near a river or anything wet, there is willow bark there. Or you can just chew on, if I'm out hiking and I get a headache, I break off the end of a willow and chew about an inch of a freshly growing tip. That's about equivalent to an aspirin. And for those who don't know, aspirin comes from meadowsweet, but willow has the same salicylic acid, is the same compound that you find in aspirin. So I chew on that. If I'm getting a migraine, that's a little different. Feverfew and butterbur are good things to sort of relieve that preventatively. But if I've got a big migraine, there's and I don't get them very often, but there's a fungus called the diamond willow fungus that only grows, I think, north of the 60th parallel. I don't quote me on that, but it's very far north. And I have a friend in the Yukon Territory who collects it. And I light it on fire and inhale the smoke, and it knocks it out immediately. But willow bark's a good one. Yeah, and I also use lion's mane and reishi. They're vasodilators. So a lot of times headaches, and you're not getting enough blood flow. So that also helps as well. Just take the tinctures.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all
You're
of
welcome.
This. Is Alone, are you going to do any more reality television?
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. I'm really spending a lot of time. You know, I just finished my seventh book. I've got five out right now. So I've just finished my seventh book.
Awesome.
And it will be out probably this summer. And I did an herbal course that came out in January, which is on my website if anyone's interested. A big herbal e-course. And I'm working on a wilderness survival course now that I'll be filming this fall, so it'll be out next year. I've got a few other irons in the fire right now, so
amazing. I have several of your books and swear by them, and they're such inspiration. I've been working on doing, I literally was listing the protocols that I used on my rescue in like magazine form that's going to be a book one day. So quite the inspiration, and I refer to yours all the time. And when I do get those pet parents that go, "Hey, this really helped my pet. Will it work for me?" I literally take a picture of your book and send it to them and go to page,
go
to page, whatever, and follow what she says. I'm still working on myself and fixing it. I know what to do with your pet, but here's the person who knows better than me. I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come on and talk to me. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate how you share not only how to do these and make some of these things myself, but if I don't, I actually can get a pure, beautiful, extracted spagyric tincture from you. So thank you so much for doing that also.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for your work with pets. I think they're out there, you know, we think about humans a lot, but our pets are important too. So thanks for all the wonderful work you do in the world, Angela.
Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you so much. I hope to meet you one day. If you ever have like an in-person class or course or anything? Because I know when I was looking at your online, I was like, do I get to go sit with one of those people in the field with her? Because where do I sign up?
I teach primarily at skills gatherings now. I go to a lot of skills gatherings. I've been going to them since my kids were little. They grew up going to them. And at the time when I first started going, I went because it was the cheapest summer camp ever, you know. You just camp for a week with the kids. And if I taught, we could all go for free, you know.
Oh, I love it.
So I'm teaching in May, actually, at one here near Bend, Oregon, where I live. In Summer Lake. I'm teaching in June up in Washington at Saskatoon Circle Gathering. Not sure what other ones I'm going to this year, but there's a number of them.
We find those on your website?
You can look them up. If you look up traditional skills gatherings across the country, they'll be listed.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, you're going to see my face there. I'm going to stalk you.
Great.
I get all my products, mushroom products, are made in Estacada.
Oh, wonderful.
From a mycoalchemist there. So I'm in Oregon all the time. And I just moved and live in an Airstream right now and fled Florida. And I'm in Arizona right now, but I want to be on the West Coast in either Northern California, I think, or Oregon. So I can be with the mushrooms and the herbs and the people that, with the witches and the disruptors.
Exactly. Well, if you come to Oregon, let me know.
I will. Thank Excellent. You so much. All right. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Please make sure to leave us a review wherever you're listening from. This is the best way to help pet parents like you find these episodes and get access to all our content. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Your Natural Dog and at AngelaArtolino.com.
Introducing MycoDog, an award-winning line of medicinal mushroom extracts combined with adaptogens like ashwagandha, astragalus root, and Bacopa monnieri, made specifically for your pets. When it comes to mushrooms, sourcing really matters. Unlike other products on the market that are grown in China or elsewhere, the mushrooms in MycoDog tinctures are grown here in the United States to the highest quality standards. MycoDog offers three formulas designed to support senior dogs, as well as those suffering from dementia and canine cognitive disorder, breathing and respiratory issues, or autoimmune diseases and cancer. Use coupon code YNDPODCAST at MycoDog.com for 10% off these fantastic fungi.